Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
And Hurricane Milton has made landfall in Florida, as no doubt you've been hearing over the last number of hours. It's brought tornadoes, floods and risk of storm surges. More than 3 million homes and businesses are without power now. There have been a number of deaths reported so far. Milton was a Category 5 hurricane, but it has been downgraded to a Category 1, but it's still wreaking havoc across the entire area. Officials in Florida to say they're awaiting daylight there to assess the true damage in their cities, because the storm is continuing to hammer the state this morning. Melanie Bevan, the chief of police in Bradenton, which is south of Tampa, says the aftermath of this is going to be difficult.
I don't really think it's going to be rescue once the storm subsides. I think it's going to be recovery. If people chose poorly and they stayed in their homes that were ill-equipped to handle storm surge and wind, what we'll probably be finding in the morning are bodies. It's bleak in some of these areas, and that's why we tell people. There's been law enforcement officials throughout this area of Florida saying, write your name and your next of kin in black Sharpie on your arm so that we can get a hold of somebody to come claim you.
Right, that's a devastating description of what might face some of those workers when they manage to examine the scene this morning. Todd Gross is US-based meteorologist. Todd, we spoke yesterday, and at that stage we were told by the president and so many others that this was going to be one of the most destructive hurricanes in Florida over a century. Did it live up to that, and what's happening now?
Honestly, I don't think so, because at the last minute, as we discussed yesterday, it just made that slight veering off to the right into the town that you just mentioned, Bradenton and Sarasota. Now, those areas just south of Tampa, St. Petersburg, were absolutely crushed with a storm surge, and we don't know yet how devastating that surge was. But in terms of Tampa, St. Pete, as bad as it was in that metropolitan area, it could have been worse. However, there's something that happened overnight that's very interesting with the storm, and that is the rain became torrential right along the highway known as I-4, and it's still going on right now in Daytona Beach back to Orlando, Florida. And the amounts of rain are absolutely tremendous. I've actually looked very closely at this just prior to coming on, and it's been over a foot. So they've had over 12 inches of rain overnight. So the flooding from the rain alone is going to be a very big issue as well. And we're not sure how that's manifested itself. You know, these things never really become fully clear until it gets light and the storm settles down. And It's still, you know, going on in northeast Florida right now. So until it's, you know, a little farther offshore and until it's light, which it isn't here, we won't know exactly the extent of the damage.
Okay, so Todd, you describe the impact of the very heavy rain, which is ongoing, as you describe. Also the strength of the winds. And we've seen in St. Petersburg, the roof of a Major League Baseball stadium was torn off, which just demonstrated the power and the strength of the wind.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I was looking at that. And even though the storm moved a little south of St. Petersburg and Tampa, which would put them on the weaker side of the storm, despite that, the storm was transitioning its structure at the last minute, and that part of the storm also had some very powerful winds, even though it should have been a little bit less. So considering that they got lucky from the storm moving a little bit to the south of where it could have, because it really went where it was supposed to, but they were always nervous in Tampa, St. Pete, that it would move right over them by just a few miles shifting. So thank goodness it didn't shift. But on the other hand, the strong winds were to the north of the center as well. And that's where that happened, yes.
And what about the tornadoes? Because many of them were spawned by this hurricane. How did that happen and how destructive were they?
Yeah, I feel bad we didn't talk about that yesterday morning, in fact, because it's such a normal occurrence to have isolated tornadoes during hurricanes. They happen all the time. But The problem in this case was they were more prevalent than usual in one of the outer bands that was developing with the storm. And the National Hurricane Center, it's kind of out of their jurisdiction, and they weren't really talking about that. That was the jurisdiction of another office of the National Weather Service, and those are impossible to pinpoint where they're going to occur. So the tornadoes occurred far from the storm center on the east coast of Florida, all the way down towards Miami, and all the way up along the east coast of Florida, which was far, far from the storm center, and that took a lot of people off guard.
Todd, thank you so much for joining us once again. Todd Gross, their meteorologist. I'm joined as well by Leonard Nugent, originally from Belfast, but now living in Champions Gate, Florida. And Leonard, you're hunkering down there with your wife, Mary. Hello to you.
Yeah, grand. Hello. Yep.
So how is it where you are right now?
Well, it's dark out there now. The eye of the storm passed us just over probably an hour and a half ago, but it's still the noise from the wind is unbelievable. Like, you know, in here, we've lost a few panels from the backyard, from the roof we have in the backyard. They're gone. The noise is just unbelievable, more than anything, like, you know. Mm-hmm. And we got torrential rain here as well at the moment.
You are just outside the evacuation zone, though, is that right? So you had the option of sitting through, hunkering down and just waiting for it to pass over?
We did. We got a curfew notice from the sheriff last night about 8 o'clock, telling us we can't leave the houses till 10 o'clock the next morning, which is 10 o'clock today. And we also had tornado warnings as well. So, yeah, we can't leave, and we can't do nothing. But we are outside the excavated area. Mm-hmm. But our houses, we're lucky. We're in Champions Gate with their purpose-built, their hurricane-proof houses. So we're very lucky, as opposed to a lot of poor souls out there and, you know, timber frame houses and RVs and that there that people are living in.
And have you been able to get outside to assess the damage? You mentioned about the panels being gone. Did you get out? Is it safe enough to walk outside?
No. We're looking at the windows at it. It's pitch black here at the moment, and the noise is unbelievable. But I leave it. In another couple of hours, it'll be light, and we'll get out and have it. We'll see what the crack is then, like, you know. Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people around you then who were in the RVs and the wooden structures, they probably left the area. They would have evacuated, would they?
Oh, no, there's a lot of people here living. You know, we have WhatsApp groups and what have you, and there's a lot of people. They can't afford to go anywhere, a lot of people. And some people are maybe just stubborn in that there and won't have gone, like, you know. No, there's a lot of people that, you know, we'll see when it gets light. We'll know what the crack is then. But a lot of people just stayed. I know that for a fact.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, hopefully they're okay, because as you describe it, it would have been a very difficult night for them. So in terms of preparation then, what did you do to get ready for this? I know you say your house is safe enough, but I'm sure you've got plenty of stuff out in the backyard that you needed to secure.
Well, usually we had the last hurricane a couple of weeks ago, and Helene, but that wasn't too bad. And we bring all the outside furniture and everything into a covered area. But with this one, we've had so much information on this one. We brought everything actually inside the house, like, you know. Mm-hmm. We filled the bath up with water. Mary tried to go out the other day and get some water and some extra food stuff and that there, because we wasn't sure, but the media was really pushing it that this was a once in 100-year storm sort of thing. But when she went to Walmart and the like, the shelves were empty. She sent me some photographs here and showed that I wasn't telling her off when she came back empty-handed.
Okay.
They were empty. The shelves were empty, like, you know, like 2 days ago.
There was nothing to buy. Well, Leonard, I wish you well. No. When light comes and you can get out, I hope there isn't too much damage there, and that yourself and Mary get through it all very well. That's Leonard Nugent, who's from Belfast, living in Florida. And I'm joined on the line by Cheryl Champion now, who's from Folkestone in England and is currently on holidays with her family in Florida. So Cheryl, not much of a holiday, is it?
Not so far, no. We're trying to make the best. We're trying to make the best of it. Luckily, the villa we're in has got lots of room and a pool table and things like that. So we're trying to make the best of it. But yeah, not what we expected.
So what are the conditions like now where you are?
So I would say in the last probably the last 15 minutes, the storm seems to have calmed a little. I was woken at 2 a.m. our time by the wind and the rain because it was so ferocious. And it's literally just, so that was 3 hours ago, and literally the last 15 minutes, it appears to have calmed, but it's calmed a little bit before and then come back. All of the sort of online things were saying that the storm would be below us, about 100 miles below us, but it obviously took a last minute turn and came directly over us in Orlando. But luckily it seemed to have calmed itself by the time it got to us, so it's just been a lot of noise really,
right?
And a very full swimming pool.
Okay. And I'm sure quite frightening as well, because you're watching all of the warnings, you're trying to get ready for this, and you just don't know what's coming.
Yeah, I think you know, as British people, we're not used to this level of hurricane. And so it's about being prepared, but also trying not to panic. You know, I've got my 8-year-old little brother with us here, and we don't want him panicking or worrying that it's going to be anything terrible. So we've tried to stay calm, just follow the advice that we've been given by the villa owners and by, you know, local people, and hope for the best. That's what we just said. We can plan for the worst and hope for the best. That's all we can do, really.
So what do the next couple of hours look like then? I mean, have you been told when you can go outside again, for example?
No, we haven't actually been given a curfew. Looking at the weather, bizarrely, by lunchtime, it's supposed to be quite sunny and lovely again. So it's still dark here. Sunrise is due about 7 a.m., 7:30. So I think the reality, we'll have a look at then. I mean, we've just, once the rain fully hit last night and the wind, we just shut all the doors. We'd already brought in all the furniture at the request of the villa owner and the bins and stuff. And we've just sort of stayed inside and stayed safe. Mm-hmm. So we'll keep an eye, look outside, see what the weather's like and go from there, really.
And did you lose power then overnight?
Luckily we haven't, and we were ready for that. We the owners had said that the thing that was most likely to happen was to lose power. So we charged up all of our power banks, so we had access to phones and we could see online what was going on. But luckily we don't appear to have lost power at all, which is great.
Well, Cheryl, I hope you get to enjoy your holiday over the coming days and stay safe in the meantime. Thank you for joining us from just south of Orlando. Next up, we're going to take a look at how rising sea temperatures are resulting in more intense storms.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.